Your industry is unique. It faces its own challenges and risks that set it apart. That means choosing just any insurance company just won't cut it. At The Hartford, we take pride in knowing the ins and outs of your industry and help provide solutions that suit how you do business. From liability and property insurance to workers' comp and more. At The Hartford, we don't just talk about specialization, we live it. Learn how The Hartford can help your business at thehartford.com.
Collaborate for a greener future at the Bloomberg Green Festival, a groundbreaking celebration of the thinkers, doers, and innovators leading the way. From design and culture to technology, science, and entertainment. Hear from inspirational speakers and immerse yourself in climate solutions, July 10th through 13th in Seattle. Title sponsor, Amazon. Official airline, Alaska Airlines. Get 20% off using promo code RADIO20 at BloombergLive.com/Green Festival.
Hello, welcome to the Bloomberg Business of Sports podcast, where we explore some of the big money issues in the world of sports. I'm Michael Barr.
I'm Scarlett Fo.
And I'm Damian Sassauer.
We are talking golf, and who better to talk about it than the CEO of the United States Golf Association, Mike Wan. Mike, welcome to the Bloomberg Business of Sports.
Scarlett, Michael, Damian, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Well, let's start with the obvious here. What do you see coming down the road now? And I'm saying it now, 2023. What happened? My hair turned gray. Everything just, I'm old. What happened here? But now it's 2023. What do you see down the road for golf?
You know, it's funny you say that. I tell people all the time, none of us could have anticipated what COVID meant to our game. Mm-hmm. You know, COVID meant a lot of things to a lot of people, but for the game of golf, it meant an explosion. We went, I said this to a manufacturer the other day, could any of us have perceived just a few years ago that we'd be out of inventory at retail? You know, we'd see growth levels highest in history. The game would be driven by youth and women and people of color. We'd see huge booms in both on course and off course following the game, increases in watching the game. It's really a special time in our game. We've always talked about in golf this thing we call latent demand, which is people always say, I wish I had more time. If I had more time, I'd play golf. We never knew if that was really true or if that's just something somebody said. But if 2020, 2021, and 22 proved anything, it proved that latent demand was real. And the levels we're seeing in the game are like something we've never seen before.
It's certainly exciting, I think, for anyone who heads a golf organization. One thing that I think you will have to contend with in 2023 is a lot of legal issues as well, whether it's LIV Golf, whether it's the DOJ's antitrust probe. The DOJ recently expanded its probe of PGA to the U.S. Golf Association, to Augusta National as well, and PGA of America. Is this a reasonable investigation from where you sit?
You know, I'm not sure if I have the legal background to decide what's reasonable legally, but there's definitely things we do together as a sport, and thank goodness we do, whether that's first tees and drive, chip, and putts and girls golf, all things that we all combine together to really take to another level. I don't remember ever in my life having a conversation with another sports entity about how I filled my U.S. Open field or how I run a championship or my qualifier. So I've said from the very beginning, I'm happy to let my actions as it relates to what we do or don't do speak for themselves. You know, we played the U.S. Open in 2022. People that had qualified for our posted criteria played in it, no matter where they were playing the week before or the week after. It was a great championship, and it's kind of back, Scarlett, to what I was saying before, was in a strange way, and people kind of always look at the negative, but, you know, when billions of dollars has some place to spend and spend it in sport, the fact that golf is at the top of that list says a lot about where our sport is right now in terms of not just interest here in the States, but really around the world.
You know, Mike, I was having this conversation over break, and, you know, a friend of mine said, you know, the problem with LIV is it's not that they took the best golfers. They just took the best villains. You know, they took some great personalities. You know, they took Mickelson. They took Sergio. They took Cam Smith. And my question for you is this. Now what we're seeing is the PGA adjust by, you know, just what we saw over the weekend, the Tournament of Champions in Hawaii, elevated purse, smaller field. Is this what we can expect from the PGA going forward?
You know, it's funny. People always say to me, and just like you started your note with, the problem of golf is, And I always say the problem with golf is the fact that we're spending 95% of our time talking about 0.001% of the people that play it. And play it, granted, at a high level, and get paid to play it at a level none of the rest of us can perceive. If it wasn't for this kind of weird, you know, disruption, that, you know, wherever it shakes out, it shakes out. It'll, you know, the game will find its footing for hundreds of years. It always has. But it's the real shame of it isn't, you know, what a couple of guys are doing or aren't doing or, you know, who's funding it. The real shame of it is because we're spending 95% of our time talking about this, what we're not talking about, you know, is the greatest boom in female golf, juniors golf, people of color, you know, what's happening in terms of top golfs of the world and how that's, you know, how that's throwing in about another 10 million people a year, half of which never have walked on a green grass course in their life. So, you know, we're talking about the greatest situation in terms of public facilities financially that they've ever been in. So that's to me, the problem with golf isn't what's happening for, you know, a couple hundred folks who, well, no matter what they choose, they're probably going to be pretty well off. The problem is we spend our time talking about a couple hundred folks when the rest of the game, quite frankly, is healthier than not only than it's ever been, but I think anybody could have ever predicted.
You know something else about golf, and I was thinking about this. Golf, to me, is the only major sport where, you know, in football, it's like, yeah, well, if, you know, so-and-so played in today's game, it'd be totally different. Golf is the only game I can think of where you had a guy like a Bobby Jones who could compete today out there on the course. And what does that say about the golf athlete? Because that is saying something.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. I mean, it's why we take our history so serious, because to your point, I don't know if what's happened to, you know, weightlifting and training and everything else for some other sports, but I don't think there's anybody on the planet who doesn't believe that if Jack Nicklaus was 25 today and Tiger Woods was 25 today and Bobby Jones was 25 today, we wouldn't have one of the greatest match plays in history, because they'd all be the top of the game. It's a unique sport in so many ways, and, you know, I won't wax poetically on it, but I got involved in it. I remember my father saying to me, I'm going to teach you a game that you'll play the rest of your life. Everything else you're currently playing, you'll probably never play again when you're my age. And, you know, the time you roll your eyes, because that's just dad talking. But none of us realize when we walk off a football field for the last time or a baseball field that we're probably never going to get, you know, that many people together to play that kind of. But, you know, I'm as competitive at 58 as I was at 28. In golf, it's just as much a part of my life as it was then. And it's a unique sport that way. I mean, people build vacations around it, you know, travel around it, and viewing around it. So it's a lifestyle more than it's a game.
It's a lifestyle more than it's a game for those who are out on the green. I haven't hit that point yet, but so I'm a little bit still obsessed with things like LIV Golf and the 0.01% who. Oh, maybe the villains of the sport, as right, okay. Damien's friend
we'll talk
put
about
it.
Rory.
I tell you, I ought to.
I wonder, Mike, has there been any consideration given to adjusting rules for qualifying for the U.S. Open? Because right now, LIV tournaments don't qualify for world ranking points.
We'll do our qualifications for 2023, probably soon here now into 23. But, Scarlett, if you don't follow it that close, what I'd tell you is in 2022, we didn't make any adjustments to how people qualified for the U.S. Open. Mm-hmm. And in that case, LIV players or players that were at the time currently playing on the LIV Tour that had qualified for the U.S. Open played in the U.S. Open. And we'll give you a good example. If you win a U.S. Open, you get 10 years of exemption into a U.S. Open. If you win another major, we give you 5 years of exemption. So there's players playing on other tours that have earned an exemption into our event. I've said many times, I can't imagine me telling somebody that they earned something 1 year and 2 years later saying that doesn't exist anymore. But in terms of getting to the U.S. Open, it's a really different championship. Again, if you don't follow it as closely, half of my championship comes out of open qualifiers. What that means is you literally have to pay your fee and show up at a golf course over 36 holes. And over a long period of time, we have 109 different qualifiers and 44 different states. I mean, if you're going to play, anybody can play their way into a U.S. Open, regardless what their world ranking is. So it is truly an open championship. Doesn't mean it's easy. You know, we'll have 20,000 people competing for, you know, 75 spots. But that's what's made it special for over 100 years.
Your industry is unique. It faces its own challenges and risks that set it apart. That means choosing just any insurance company just won't cut it. You need a company with extensive experience in specialized insurance. At The Hartford, we take pride in knowing the ins and outs of your industry and helping provide coverage that suits your needs. The Hartford offers insurance solutions that help mid to large-sized businesses, like yours, effectively manage risk, from liability and property insurance to workers' comp and more. With extensive experience in underwriting, risk engineering services, and claims, The Hartford goes beyond the expected to deliver innovative, customizable solutions and service that your industry, that your business, demands. At The Hartford, we don't just talk about specialization. We live it. Learn how The Hartford can help your business at thehartford.com.
You know success when you see it. Or you think you do. The people in the spotlight. Athletes, actors, artists. But what about the people behind the scenes? You know, the ones who make it all happen. The lighting engineers, the sideline photographers, the caterers. They're small business masterminds. And if there's one thing they have in common, it's making their money work harder. That's why they have a business bank account with QuickBooks Money, where they are now earning a generous 5% annual percentage yield. Yes, 5% APY. Making your money work as hard as you do? That's how you business differently. Learn more about QuickBooks Money at quickbooks.com/5APY. Banking services provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Only funds and envelopes earn APY. APY can change at any time.
Well, Mike, one of the big initiatives that the USGA put into place last year, it was unifying the game through handicapping, right? Making a handicap easy and accessible for, you know, any golfer to attain. Also, to make those handicaps update more quickly. And you've done a great job of that. You know, I think it's real time almost now. You know, it used to be a week or there used to be a lag. But, you know, my question for you is this. What sort of initiative do you have to make sure that people actually enter their score? Because sandbagging has become, at least in my, the people I play with, it's become a real issue for me. And I'm just wondering if you have any initiatives planned.
Are you talking about honor code, Damien?
Well, one of the things people either love about the game or hate about the game is, in general, we believe that people will approach the game from an honest perspective. Doesn't mean that's always true. But I've said this many times. You know, in golf, you call penalties on yourself. And that happens at the professional level, collegiate level, and at the recreational level. I can't imagine, you know, a pass getting knocked down in the NFL and the defender standing up and say, wait a minute, I think I interfered with him. But that's really what happens every week on a golf course. So, you know, if somebody doesn't want to post scores and place a higher handicap, pretty sure Golf Karma will take care of that. But you're right. I mean, what's really changed in this game and what really makes the game unique is, because we have a handicapping system, and because it's as easy as entering scores and then knowing where you stand, you can get off a plane in Thailand, walk to the first tee, and have a 47-year-old female, an 88-year-old male, and a 12-year-old boy, and compare handicaps and play a game. I mean, try that with football or basketball or baseball. So it's really kind of cool. We have 120 countries in the world all on the same handicapping system. We handicap the golf courses all over the world so they can use it. So it's a pretty unique sport in the fact that no matter where you play, no matter where you grow up, and more importantly, where you travel, you can actually play the game and actually competitively play the game that just doesn't exist in almost any other sport.
And Mike, also, any initiatives you have so that people actually know what they have on a particular hole? So it may be a math class, you know, counting, so that, you know, they get a bogey. You know, they know when it's, you know, they always think it's a bogey when it's a double bogey. You know, is there any? I'm just kidding.
You know, it's funny. I was playing over the holidays, this guy kept entering his scores on his Apple Watch. And I knew we were working on it, but I called in and I said, are we there already, or is this guy nuts? I said, no, you can actually. So I'm embarrassed to tell you, as the CEO, I wasn't aware that people are entering scores. So he was entering hole-by-hole scores and even stats on his Apple Watch. By the time he finished his round, he had posted it.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, Arcos does that, right? I mean, at the end of your round, right, you could just kind of, I think it can. Yeah, so it's pretty awesome.
I got to give a shout-out to you guys, by the way. You guys launched the inaugural U.S. Adaptive Open, and it's a championship that showcases the world's best golfers with disabilities. Tell us about that.
Yeah, you know, we have always had 14 national championships, and I'm proud of the fact that it's old, it's young, it's male, it's female, it's teams, it's individual, it's amateur and professional. But the 15th we launched last July, the U.S. Adaptive Open is really for players with disabilities. What's really unique about it is we had 8 different classes of disabilities, whether it's single leg amputee, dual leg amputee. We had neurological differences, sight differences, and I've said this many times, we really believed at the USGA we were doing that for them. We were going to create this for the athletes that deserved it, and quite frankly, we were, and we did. But for all of us who were there and worked that event, we realized maybe afterwards that was as much for us as it was for them. I mean, the inspiration that these athletes give you is second to none. And we believe that if we created a national champ, when we got golf in the Olympics back in 2009, when golf was approved in the Olympics, we asked about the Paralympics. And I remember one Olympic board member saying, "You're not ready for the Paralympics yet." And it kind of stuck in our head. And kind of, what do you mean we're not ready? Well, as we looked into Paralympics and into athletes with disabilities, we didn't have national championships. We didn't have rating systems. We didn't understand how to handle the different disabilities. And they were right. We weren't ready yet. And so by us putting on a national championship, by the way, this has already happened, there'll be at least four more significant national championships or country championships in 2023. Almost all of our state organizations are now trying to figure out how they run state disabled championships. So I really believe that our national championship, more than anything else, is a flag in the ground to say to everybody else, you can do this. And when we all start doing this, I think golf in the Paralympics is a given long term.
So, Mike, last question before we lose you here. Sony Open's coming up. You know, it's the beginning of the season. Rory opens at number one in the world. John Rahm just won his third in the last six starts at the Tournament of Champions in Hawaii. Who should we be looking out for in the 2023 season? Which players come to mind for you? I mean, who's moving up the charts here?
It's always great to ask me, like, you know, pick players, because then I have to see them next week or two. But I would say for me personally, I was surprised we didn't see Will Zalatoris break through at a major last year, even though he just, you know, was right at the top of each one. I think Will Zalatoris is probably the next big name, if I had to guess. There's also some pretty impressive rookies and kids actually kind of coming right out of school that might rocket there sooner than later. But when I was at the U.S. Open, I saw Will on the green. I'd seen him the week before, and he said, I hope next week, meaning the U.S. Open, is going to be a real challenge. Like, I really want to be challenged. And players almost never say to us, "I hope the U.S. Open is a real challenge," because it always is. It is a mental and physical challenge. And I remember walking away thinking, that's pretty cool. I mean, a player actually saying, push me. And so I saw him on Wednesday when we were at the country club in Boston. And I said, "Well, U.S., what do you think?" He goes, "Yep, this is enough. Please, no more than this." That mentality tends to lead to wins and trophies, so it wouldn't shock me to see more of those this year.
I got to mention something about equipment, and it's a story. This is, you know, we're around the same age, Mike, and I remember my mom, she had a wooden set of golf clubs.
Made of real wood.
It was made of real wood, and I decided, hey, Mom, ooh, let me see that golf club. And she says, okay, be careful with it. And I was going to drive a ball with her little golf club and broke it. Oh. And then she broke something else. But that's something altogether. My point is that about equipment, about how it's changed today, players still the same, but equipment has changed.
Actually, I'm not even sure I would say players are still the same, to be honest. In any other way than the what's going on at a training level at the young age, helping kids, you know, create speed. And I don't mean just speed on a running track, but create club head speed and ball speed. It's I've said this many times, equipment has changed. We're lucky in golf. I mean, not many sports have hundreds of millions of dollars of R&D every year piled into the, and I'm not really sure that much money is being spent on a tennis ball or a football. They're kind of what they've been and probably what they will be. But in golf, there's literally hundreds of millions of dollars spent in R&D to just get a little bit of advantage. So next year, the game's a little easier, you're a little better. And that investment is great for the game and for the sport. Creates excitement. You know, every Christmas when you walk down and see a box that just might look like a golf club. So it's that's good. But I would say that the athletes have changed too. You know, I mean, the stretching, nutrition, you know, I mean, if you walked into a tour van, you know, this week at the Sony and watch what was going on pre-round and compare that to what was going on 30 years ago pre-round, I think you'd be amazed at the difference.
It's a John Daly advertisement right there.
You're so wrong.
No name for you.
See, I said that was my last question. I lied. I got it about sustainability of the game, because the science and innovation, man, that is really fueling the game.
Yeah, I mean, that's our role together with the RNA. I mean, our job is not to think about the game 3 days from now, 3 weeks from now, or 30 days. Now, there's people that do that every day, and they run tours and championships. And our job is really to make sure that the game is as strong 30 years from now as it is now. One of the things we have to do is make sure that we don't allow athleticism and equipment changes to essentially hand that debt to people that own golf courses. I mean, very few sports have said to their venues, you have to keep up with us. Build bigger, you know, baseball stadiums, build bigger football stadiums. I mean, they might have more fans, but essentially it's still 100 yards. And so through we've been monitoring and essentially putting limits on equipment for 80 years, and we'll continue for the next 80 years. We want there to be advancement. We want there to be excitement. We want to make the game easier for those that are just starting to join the game. And at the same time, we have to make sure we don't wake up with a game 30 years from now that didn't care and there's really no place to play it, or it's too expensive to build one near a city, or old golf courses essentially obsoleted. So it's a fine line. It's not, it's not a perfect science. It's more of an art. But I'm sure if you talk to a manufacturer, they'd say those darn USGA people drive crazy. And if you talk to some golf courses, they'd probably say those darn USGA people aren't putting enough restriction in. There's never a perfect medium, but that's our job, is to make sure 30 years from now, what we're talking about today, all this excitement has translated into even more people loving the game.
By the way, if you're in Liberty Corner, New Jersey, folks, check out the USGA campus, because that's where the USGA Golf Museum is also located. And if you want to see some golf artifacts, like that golf ball that Fred Flintstone played with, go and check it out there, and you will be amazed at some of the stuff that you will see and how the equipment has evolved. Mike Wan, Chief Executive Officer of the USGA. Thank you, sir, for joining us on the Bloomberg Business of Sports.
Thank you, guys. And Scarlett, don't wait to get started. We're ready for you.
This has been the Bloomberg Business of Sports, where we explore some of the big money issues in the world of sports. I'm Michael Barr, along with Scarlett Fu and Damian Sassauer. And by the way, you can catch our show, download it wherever you get your podcasts, because the podcasts happen every Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday. This has been the Bloomberg Business of Sports on Bloomberg Radio.
Your industry is unique. It faces its own challenges and risks that set it apart. That means choosing just any insurance company just won't cut it. At The Hartford, we take pride in knowing the ins and outs of your industry and help provide solutions that suit how you do business, from liability and property insurance to workers' comp and more. At The Hartford, we don't just talk about specialization, we live it. Learn how The Hartford can help your business at thehartford.com.
Collaborate for a greener future at the Bloomberg Green Festival, a groundbreaking celebration of the thinkers, doers, and innovators leading the way, from design and culture to technology, science, and entertainment. Hear from inspirational speakers and immerse yourself in climate solutions, July 10th through 13th in Seattle. Title sponsor, Amazon. Official airline, Alaska Airlines. Get 20% off using promo code RADIO20 at BloombergLive.com/greenfestival.